for a while, or you're part of Charis Bible College, you're going to be very familiar with this scripture. Or if you know Andrew Womack's teachings and everything, you're going to be familiar with this scripture. But this is a powerful insight if you've never really seen this. Now, I've been dealing with emotions. How many know everybody has emotions? You know, we are emotional beings. We're not stoics. We don't deny that we don't have emotions, right? We're not a stoic. We don't deny that fact. We don't say, no, I don't have. No, God made you an emotional being. He made you that emotional being. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that and dealing with our emotions, because many times those emotions lead us into trouble. And so we don't want to be led into trouble. We want to be led into life. In fact, emotions can lead you to death. So you want to be led to life, okay? Very important about this, amen? Now may the God of peace, isn't that awesome? I love that. The God of what? Shalom. The word peace, Hebrew, shalom. Nothing lacking, nothing broken. That's how God sees you this morning. May the God of peace himself sanctify you, set you apart completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, most people, you know, in their theology, they think that we are made of soul and body, and they combine spirit. But really, that's not true. We are a trichotomy. We are three parts. We're made in the image of God. God is Father, Son, and what? Holy Spirit, right? So that's who we are. We are made in his image. So we are three people. We are not three people. We're one. I got split personalities here. We are one person, okay, but we have three components in our lives. We are body, soul, and spirit, amen? Let's hold up our Bibles. I love saying this little saying. It's just a great confession. Get it out of our mouth. You need to open your mouth and confess, right? Amen? This is a good one to confess. Let's confess it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word. I will never be the same, never, never the same, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to somebody, give them a high five, and say, God's got you. God's got you. Amen. Praise the Lord. He does. So I just want to go back just for a moment and establish this. When we are born again, the part of us that is born again is our spirit. Our spirit becomes brand new. Our spirit. You know, when you're born again, you look in the mirror, and if you still have a zit, you're going to have a zit. It's going to be there, right? So when you look in the mirror, you know, things don't change. But what has changed is your inward, your spirit man. We are spirit, eternal. And when you're saved, when you're born again, that spirit is eternal, and it's sealed with the Holy Spirit. And you are righteous in your spirit. Right acts do not make you righteous. Right acts do not make you righteous. Jesus made us righteous. In fact, you are a prisoner of righteousness in your spirit. Your spirit is perfect. Turn to somebody and say, one-third of me is perfect. One-third of you is born again, is perfect. And so how many know that? How many understand that? How many, you know, it makes so much sense now once we understand who we are in Christ. That's who you are in Christ. That is how Christ sees you. That's how God sees you. He sees you as perfect in your spirit, righteous. Wow, that is powerful. Righteous, able to receive, able to come boldly before his throne of grace, to obtain mercy in the time of need, right? We have that ability now because we've been made righteous. Why? Because of what we've done? No, because of what he did. And what he did made you righteous. And now you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Turn to somebody and say, right on. I'm a righteous brother. Amen. I'm a righteous brother. I'm a righteous man. We're righteous. We're right with God. We are made right with God, and nothing can reverse that. You are right forever with God in your spirit. But the thing that is our challenge is to line our mind up with what is in our spirit. Because the soul rim, the soul is your mind, will, emotions, personality. Your soul is your mind, will, emotions, and personality. It's that what reflects out here so much of the time. And, you know, as your mind goes, so does your emotions. As your mind, so Paul told us in Romans 12, 1, 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. Your body's kind of neutral. Your body doesn't do anything except what your mind tells it to do. Amen? And so he said, I beseech you that you present your bodies as what? A living sacrifice. Doesn't that sound like a dichotomy? A living but sacrifice? What does that mean? It's something that is alive to God but dead to sin. We died once to sin. As Jesus died once, you died once. You're not dying, you're dead. Turn to somebody and say, I'm dead. I'm not dying, I'm dead. I've got a whole teaching on that. You need to pick it up. It's probably about out because it's a great teaching. Many people saying, I'm dying. No, you're dead. Well, what about that I die daily? Paul was talking about, I'm persecuted daily. That's what he's talking about. If you read that whole scripture, I die daily. I'm persecuted daily. But he's dead once. And so you're dead once. And so you've got this body, but you've got this soul that you have to contend with. And Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is just your reasonable service, and that you be what? Transformed, metamorphosis by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One of my favorite verses. Why? Because that verse right there tells us the application of life that leads us into victory all the time. It is by renewing our mind to what God's word says we are in his word. Not an opinion of somebody else, not even what your parents have said, not what your grandparents have said, or somebody has identified you, but our identity is found in the word. And so we take the word and we renew or change our mind to what God's word says about us in our spirit. Amen. And so what happens, because we're emotional people and we have feelings, we all have feelings, right? And we're emotional people, we're made up, God made it like that, but he never intended for your emotions to have you. Amen. God made you an emotional person. We have joy, we have fun, we have seasons in the sun. Hallelujah. We have all these things, but God never made you for those emotions to control your life. Yet most people allow their emotions to control them instead of what God's word says and allowing the word to control them. They respond to their thinking and what they're thinking at the moment. They allow that emotion to take over, and there they are. If you think depression, you're going to be depressed. If you think loneliness, you're going to be lonely. If you think you're unhappy, you're going to be unhappy. So, you know, as your thinking goes, so does your emotions, and so does your state of life. Oh, this is good teaching, guys. Amen, amen. So but here's the thing. God has given you as a believer authority over everything. You have authority over how you respond. You have that authority. God has given it to you as a believer. Amen. That's another teaching, believer's authority, but you have that authority. By taking authority over hurt and unruly emotions, you can come emotionally stable in your life. An emotional stable person is going to get further ahead in the victory the Lord has already provided when they understand what God has done for them and the power and authority they have to choose in this life. Wow. So let's go to John 3, 2. 3 John verse 2. 3 John verse 2. Amen? So God desires this of us. God desires our soul to prosper. Amen. Look what he says. Beloved, I pray that you're what? You may prosper in what? All things. So God desires total life prosperity. God wants you to prosper in all things. Turn to somebody and say, that's for me. Man, God wants me to prosper in all. You need to get that. A lot of churches teach God wants you to be poor. That's not what the Bible says. God wants you to prosper. He became poor that you might become rich. Rich. Amen. In all things, in all areas of life. In your health, God wants you to be rich in your health. You can have all the money of the world, but you don't have health, you don't have anything. God wants you to be rich in your health. God wants you to be rich in your finances. Because that way you can give, as Madonna was saying. You can give away. Hallelujah. If you're poor and I'm poor, we don't have nothing to give to each other. Right? God wants you to be physical. God wants you to be prospering in your relationships. He wants your relationships to be good within your family. Come on, someone. Amen. So in all things and be in what? Health. God says, I want you. My desire is that you be in health. God didn't want you sick. Sickness is not God's will. God does not put sickness on people. Jesus bore sickness on the cross that you and I might bear healing in this life. My friend, when you're whole and healed, man, you can do so much more in the kingdom than if you're sick and puny all the time. God wants you to be whole and healed. He's provided it. Receive it. Y'all still here this morning? Amen. Just as what? How many see the connection here? He says, I want you to have all this just as what? Your soul prospers. So how many would come to the conclusion that having a prosperous soul is very important for everything else to function correctly in my life? So in order for everything else to function correctly, my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, amen, must also prosper first. Because as I think, so am I, is what the Word says. What I think about, what I allow to come into my brain, so am I. If you don't allow it, you don't do it. Man, I got home, was it last night? Last night, I worked about a 12-hour day, 11-hour day yesterday. I got home, and I had the thought of chocolate chip cookies. And my wife said, honey, would you like this, that, and the other? I said, no. I said, I want some chocolate chip cookies. Because my wife makes the best chocolate chip cookies. And I had that thought in my mind, and I wouldn't get that thought out of there. I wasn't going to get it out. I just refused to let it go. In fact, I said, do you have some cookie dough made up? She said, yes, if Elise hadn't eaten it, I do. So, and, you know, she's back home. I love you, baby girl. Amen. And so I said, well, if you got some, they said, okay, I'll make you some. I said, oh, yes. But you know what? If I had controlled that thought, I wouldn't have had to have any chocolate chip cookies. Shoot. Amen. But it started because I had that thought, and then my emotions took over. I could smell them. You ever walk into a place and just the smell of something or set off something? Or just a song? Memories light the corners of my mind. Misty watercolor memories. Hello. All that stuff comes flooding back into your mind, and then you'll have an emotional response. All of a sudden, you'll start feeling, I miss my daddy. My mama, she's gone on, and I feel so sad right now. I miss my mama. I remember mama loved that song. And all of a sudden, you get into that state because you've allowed your mind to go there off one of those. You know what I do? When something comes like that to me, I immediately take authority over that and say, no, I do not receive that. I don't receive that thought. I'm going to line my thought up. I receive the joy of the Lord as my strength. I receive the peace of God that passes all understanding. I'm not going to allow myself to go there where I don't even need to be. I used to be there. I'm no longer there. I'm here full in Christ, full of his love, full of his joy, full of the Spirit. Why do I want to go there, amen, to that familiar place? Depression is a familiar place for many people. They don't even know how to live life out of depression because they've been in that. It's almost like a familiar spirit. Thank you for your enthusiasm, church. Amen. God didn't want you being there. He said, I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly, to the full, till it overflows. There's nothing abundant about being depressed on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or allowing these things to control your life. Yes, oh my, I'm going to get ahead of myself. Hang on a second. Y'all still with me here? So he says this, your soul compartment includes your mind, will, and emotions. Emotions are feelings on the inside caused by pleasure or pain that try to get you to move into a certain direction. It is God's will for you to overcome those feelings. Amen. When you are mastering your emotions, they aren't mastering you. When you take control of your thought life and you line them up with what God's word says, you're going to be overcoming and victorious every time. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You line it up with the word of God. Your emotions should not lead your life. It's God's spirit that leads your life. It's God's word that leads your life. It's not how I feel today. It's not how I'm going to respond because I feel this way. Oh, come on, man. You all should be shouting me down right now. Either I'm preaching to a lot of guilty people, and I don't want to throw guilt on you this morning. Amen. Or you should just be saying, oh, Pastor, you know what? That is so good. Amen. I receive that. Self-control is part of the fruit of the Spirit which you have in you. You have the mind of Jesus already in you. Hallelujah. You know, I talked last week, Jesus had emotions. When he went to Gethsemane, he said, Lord, let this pass from me. But he was able to control those and went to the cross on our behalf. Aren't you glad Jesus was able to control his emotions? Amen? Hallelujah. There's three areas in which the enemy wants to convince you that you can't change. He wants to tell you you can't change. One of those areas is your personality. Oh, I'm always like this. No, you don't have to be like this because you have a new image. You have a new personality. His name is Jesus. He's moved on the inside of you. Another area is your circumstances. The devil wants to tell many of you that you cannot change your circumstance. He is a liar. Come on, church. He is a liar. Another area the enemy wants to tell you is you will never change that weakness in your life. That's just who you are. That's just who your family was. That's what you just have to live with. That's just no, that is a lie from hell. God has given you authority and power over all the enemy. Look at Luke 10:19. Look at Luke 10:19. I'm going to tell you what the devil can do. I'm going to tell you what the devil can do in just a second. Because we've given him so much authority and so much power. But I'm telling you, look at this. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you authority. Turn to somebody and say you. To trample on serpents and what? And over all the what? Over some. Over a little bit. The Greek word for all. You all been with me a while, haven't you? Is all. Now, if God gave you all, what does the enemy have? All and zero is what? All, nothing. You've got it. God says, I've given you that. Most people don't take it, and they don't use it. It's like if you never flip the switch in your house and continue to light the candle, and you got electricity and a light bulb that's working, it's up to you. It's your choice. But God's given you that authority. And nothing shall by any means. Emotions. Where do we have that hurt at? In our emotions. Nothing by any means shall. The devil can't force you to do anything. Flip Wilson. He was so funny. Some of you are young. You'll look up Flip Wilson. Go on the internet, look up Flip Wilson, and look up the Devil Made Me Do It sketch. He was so funny because he'd be Geraldine. And Geraldine was a church woman. She'd always go to church. She was very religious, okay? And he'd get on and say, "Well, the devil made me do it." Listen, the devil can't make you do anything. He can only make suggestions. That's all the power he has. He tries to hurt you emotionally so that you are vulnerable to his attacks. That's what he tries to do. So when you are hurt, your emotions are pumped up and cause you to make emotional decisions, like slap somebody. Hello? Because your emotions are so stirred and pumped up, which move you out of the will that God has for your life. When you put up defenses to protect your feelings, you're also protecting Satan's access points into your life. Hurt is designed to stop you from moving forward. Hurt is designed to stop you from moving forward. Many people, I know people that have been hurt in their childhood and they're childish all their life because they've never outgrown that hurt. Someone hurt them, and they go on Oprah and tell them about it for years, or whoever they go on. But I'm telling you, hurt is designed to stop you from moving forward. Are you going to receive that, or are you going to move on? Turns to somebody and say, "I'm moving on." Amen. I'm moving in. So when you take control of your thought life by lining it up with God's word, your emotions have to fall in line with your thinking. Your emotions should not lead your life. Amen. Your emotions should not lead your life. They line up with God's word. They line up with this thinking. Amen? So, man, you can resolve to never be hurt another day in your life. What? Are you serious? Pastor, I got these feelings. You can resolve to never be hurt another day in your life. Isn't that freedom? How do you do that, Pastor? You choose. You choose your response to be hurt. Oh, y'all ain't hear what I'm saying. Yesterday, I had a family member that I could have chosen to be offended at. I mean, and you know how family is? Family's close to you. And if anybody can hurt you, it's who? Those that are closest to you and your family. I could have chosen to have been mad, to have been upset, to have gotten a rage, to curse, to want to go over there and go, "Whoa!" I could have chosen all that. But you know what? I said, no, that's affecting my joy, and I'm not going to receive that because I walk in joy. I'm a child of the King. It doesn't matter what somebody might say, how they feel, how they respond. I'll tell you how I'm going to respond. I'm going to respond like Jesus responded. I'm going to keep my peace intact, and I'm going to love them. Hallelujah. So I called him up over about a couple hours later, and I said, "Hey, man, you want to go lunch?" "Yeah, let's go." Just walked in, didn't say anything about it, he was all flustered, upset, mad, cursing, carrying on, and I'm just like, not me. I got the peace of Jesus. Got over and took him out to lunch. We had a great time, had a good time, went back, did our thing, blah, blah, blah. You can choose. And I refuse to choose what the enemy tries to do to me. Because when I would have gotten upset, hurt, what happens? Division comes in. Hello? When division comes in, we're divided apart. Are y'all getting this morning? Amen. We're not there. No, I choose to allow the blood of Jesus to cover every area of my life, including my mind and how I respond to people. I am not going to get offended. I'm not going to choose that. I am not going to get offended. Turn to somebody and say, "You don't have to get offended." How many is getting this morning? Three of you. Amen. I'm so glad. This is so important, church. Amen. Your emotions do not lead your life. No. Amen. No way. Wow. You can resolve not to be hurt another day in your life. You must dismiss what people have done to you. It doesn't matter when you look at what they did to Jesus. When you choose to get angry and depressed, you lose the ability to fight off negative feelings. Hurt people make bad decisions. Emotions can kill you. I'm a pilot. I love to fly. You know one thing that if I'm a pilot or if I'm flying with a pilot and we get into trouble, you know one thing I do not want that pilot to have in the cockpit or with me or around me at that time is fear. I want that dude to be cool, calm, collected. Why is that? Because fear causes you to make bad decisions. So I want that guy to have a sharp head, and if I'm in trouble, I want to have a sharp head, right? So that's why I'm not going to allow fear to come into my life that's going to cause something to do to me that I wouldn't normally do when I'm in a stable condition. And in Jesus, you're in a stable condition. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujahs. Wow. Listen, I want to help you out here. Give me a few more minutes this morning. There's a right way and a wrong way to get over hurt. You choose how you respond to a situation. All right? First of all, what do? You take up the shield of faith. Listen to what Ephesians 6:16 says. It says we take up. The devil loves to throw fiery darts. He's going to give opportunities all the time for you to choose to be hurt, offended, walk in pain, all this stuff. All right? So, above all, taking the shield of faith with which we will be able to what? Quench, there's that Greek word again, all the fiery darts of the enemy. Faith is powerful. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight or feelings. We are people of faith. Hallelujah. Awesome. Amen. Take up the shield of faith. It is what God says that matters, not what others say. It is what God says that matters, not what someone else says. Forgive others, and forgiving others is an act of faith. Forgiveness is a decision, not something that is done according to how you feel. That's why we walk by faith. It's a decision. I don't feel like, Pastor, you don't even know what they've done to me. Do you know what they did to Jesus? Wow. Don't forsell yourself forgiveness by expecting others to do the same or change before you forgive them. When you hold unforgiveness, it's like you drink the poison and hope it kills them. Y'all didn't get that. When you hold unforgiveness, it's like you drink the poison and hoping it's going to kill them. Here's a good one. Stop reliving the situation. Nurse it. Rehearse it. And curse it. That's what people do. They can't wait to get on Facebook. You don't know. They can't wait to pick up the phone. You don't know what they did to me. Nurse it, hearse it, curse it. You need to reverse it. You need to reverse it. Hello? Stop making excuses for why you are so easily hurt. Get out of your past. Philippians 3:13. I love this scripture. Is this good this morning? Y'all are quiet. Are we all been there? Hey, has anybody been there besides Pastor? Has anybody ever had the opportunity to get the spirit of slap come upon them in a hurry? Hello? Come on. We all have. Have that spirit of anointing, buddy. All right? Amen. Where are we at? Okay, let's go there. Philippians 3:13. Let's put this up. Look at this. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I'm not perfect yet. I'm not there in my soulish realm yet. But one thing I do, what do I do? What one thing do I do? Forgetting those things which were and reaching forward to those which are ahead. I'm forgetting what's there. I'm forgetting that hurt, that pain, all of that things that Paul could have said, well, this is why I am like I am, because, you know, I persecuted the church. I killed all those people. Paul said, I'm forgetting those things. You know, what am I doing? What am I doing? Next verse, go on down. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call. I'm choosing the upward call. I'm choosing the upward call, folks, that is in Christ Jesus. Stop wearing your emotions on your sleeve. Stop trying to get even with people that have hurt you. Wow. When you've been hurt, don't try to get back at someone by hurting them. Don't go to the point where you say, well, I'm not going to trust anybody anymore. No, man. Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. He cares for you. Don't allow hardness of heart. Don't get bitterness in your heart. Get that out. Look at Ephesians 4. Let's go to Ephesians 4, 26 through 32. Two more scriptures we're going to close with today. I want you to look at this. All right? Y'all with me here this morning? Be angry. Emotion, right? But don't what? But don't what? How do we sin? We sin against people. Be angry, but don't sin against people, right? Be angry. Don't let what? The sun go down on your wrath. Wow, don't take that to bed. Married people, hello? Don't take that to bed. Get rid of it, right? Don't allow it to lead you around. Then what he says, don't give place to what? Don't, your emotions give place to the enemy. Why do you want to go there? He was just talking about anger. Take the scripture. Don't go there. Don't give place to the enemy. If you give him a little bit of place, he'll take the whole place. Right? Give no place to the devil. Let him who steals, steal no longer. But rather let him what? Labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give to him who is in need. That's a good scripture, church. Amen. Go on down. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Put a guard over your mouth. Change your mind and you'll change your mouth. Renew your mind and you'll renew your mouth. Right? That it may impart what? How many want some grace, man? Grace to the hearers. I want some grace. I want people coming with grace things in my life. Hallelujah. I merited favor in my life. Amen. That it may part that. And do not what? Grieve the Holy Spirit. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? By allowing corrupt communication to come out of our mouth. Man, this is good, church. Amen. By whom you were what? Sealed in your spirit for the day of redemption. We've been sealed. We're vacuumed in our spirit. Let all, come on, read it with me. All bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Look at this. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Oh, how can I do that, Pastor? How can I forgive them? How could I ever be there? Oh, how could I do it? Even when you know how much God's forgiven you, it is real easy to forgive somebody else. Most people don't know how much God's forgiven them. They think God's only forgiven them a little bit. They think God has forgiven them until they make the next mistake. That's why they're so hard on everybody else. That's where most churches are. Most churches teach that you're forgiven until you make your next sin, and then you're no longer forgiven. You got to come back down and repent again to get right with God. And therefore, that's where people live. And so, since God only does that, that's all I'm going to give you. He only forgives me to my next mistake. So better your next mistake, I'm getting you too. But when you know how much you are forgiven, that you are eternally forgiven in Christ Jesus forever, wow, how easy it is to overlook and forgive somebody else who may have upset you that day or get pulled out in front of you. Holly had a choice this week. She said, I was driving my little car, and some lady, I came around at one of those, what was it, roundabouts, and she was in a lane that the lady didn't think she needed to be in. And so this lady got all mad and was cussing, face was distorted, carrying on with her, and Holly just... Full of Jesus, just I said, baby, you're just, she's just so cool. Anyway, just going on. And you know what? That lady, her blood pressure went up. Holly just stayed the same. calm, cool, and collected. Why? Because she could have gotten that little red car of hers and put the top down and throw her hands up, stopped in the middle of the road and yelled and screamed at her and carried on, got in a fight, went to jail. I'd have to pull her out. Paper, pastor's wife in jail over the fight at a roundabout. Wow. You know, she could have done that. She could have chosen that, but she didn't choose that. She didn't choose that. She chose to be Jesus-like, right? That lady's blood pressure probably still up today. I remember, I wait till I see her again. I see that real red car, I tell you what, you know. All right, I want to show you one last scripture. Proverbs 13:10. Let's put this up in the King James. I kind of like this. Proverbs 13:10. Look at this. This is interesting. Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride comes what? Only by what? Only by pride comes, what's contention? Strife. What's strife lead to? All kinds of things, right? You know how it only comes? By pride. By thinking, somebody's getting advantage of me. Somebody's taking advantage of me. Pride. All source of contention is by this. That's what the word says. So if we're supposed to be humble in our spirit, humble in our hearts, and, you know, prefer our brothers and sisters and love one another, we'd never have to worry about that. Because you know why? Here's another thing. When you know God's got your back, and you really know that God's got your back, you don't have to worry about what somebody says about you. Because God's got you. It really doesn't matter, right? Because God's got you, you know? It really, and if you ever become a public speaker or you be an Andrew Womack someday or you get out, you know what? People are going to have their opinions like they do noses. Everybody's got one, right? So you better be settled in your spirit and know who you are and know who you belong to. Amen. Stand this morning. Praise God. Give God some praise today. Amen. Woo! You know, I just love teaching because I want you to be successful in life. I want you to have success in life and success with people and know how to get along with people and know how to really ooze out Jesus with people. And, you know, that's the biggest thing, man. When we go around this week, we have all these opportunities facing us and we can choose how we're going to respond to people. When you leave here, you go out to lunch today and that waiter is slow or whatever, or, you know, you can choose how to respond to them, right? You can choose how you're driving, you know, and someone cuts in front of you on the way home. All these choices you have today, amen? But I tell you, we choose to respond like Jesus, right? How many choose to respond like Jesus? Amen? Hallelujah. When a family member says something to you and, you know, they can really get to you, you have a choice how to respond. Say, oh, they're just having a bad day. They're just having a bad moment. You know, they don't mean that. They really don't mean that. Down their heart, they don't mean it. They're just living in the flesh and not in the spirit. So, hallelujah. Raise your hands this morning. Amen. Say, Pastor, this morning, I choose to be like Jesus. I choose to renew my mind to the Word of God, not people's opinions of me or what they may say. I'm based in the Word. The Word is life. It gives life to me. I choose how I'm going to respond. And I walk in forgiveness because Jesus forgave me completely. I'm renewing my mind to what God says I am and who I am in my spirit. I have the mind of Christ. I'm an overcomer. I overcome every situation. I stay in peace, in the peace of God. I refuse to give up my peace. I refuse to give up my peace. I'm going to chill in Jesus. Woo! That's you this morning, Dave. That's you. Praise God. That's you guys today. That's where you choose. Wow, church, I tell you what, God is so good. You know what? Some of you need to invite somebody out to lunch today. Take them down to a fancy restaurant like McDonald's and buy them a Happy Meal. All right? Say, you know what? You need to go lunch with us today. And, you know, or take them to your home and feed them some pinto beans and cornbread or something. But fellowship with somebody. You love somebody today. You're blessed today. Amen. Hug them today. Let them know you love them today. Praise God. Amen.